Good morning. Be here. The sermon title this morning, or short for say, is called A Part of the Church or A Part from the Church. And the question I'll be asking a lot, or I'd like you to think about at least, if I don't ask it a lot, I should be, is are you a part of the church or are you apart from the church? And it has a lot to do with what we're doing today. Partaking of the symbols of Jesus' body and his blood. Look at Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. We'll be going back to this a few times. Matthew 26, the chapter 26, near the end of Matthew. We're starting with verse 26. This is one of the passages that this comes from, what we're doing today. Now it says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing he broke it, and gave to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Now what we're doing today is communion or the Lord's Supper. It's a special meal that Jesus gave us to do just before he died, to remember what he did for us. But there's a whole lot more significance in what Jesus has just said here than just remembering. And today I'm going to go through just a little bit of this text, this passage, and we'll break it down and understand what it's talking about, what Jesus is actually saying. Now there's many, many aspects of this text that we could go into. There's many aspects of what communion is that we could go into. And over the time, I plan to, every communion, break down a different aspect of communion, or what this is, this Lord's Supper. And help us to go deeper. So today I'm only focusing on one section, which is the body, essentially. So verse 26. Said, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Let us say a quick prayer before we go on. Dear Lord, please fill us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you. Lord, please reveal yourself to us. I ask in Jesus' name. So now, when Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body, they can be a bit mistaken as to what Scripture is saying here. Just a bit of clarity. When Jesus says, this is, the word is a third person, is. If you don't understand what that is, in the Greek, all it's saying essentially is this is like my body. It's not actually my body that you're eating. You get me? It's not what some people call transubstantiation, or however it goes. It doesn't actually change from being bread into something else. It's just bread. It's like his body. It's not really his body. Just to clear that up. So I'll read it again. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread. Now why has some versions got some in it? Can I hear some other versions? What does it say when Jesus says he took some bread? What does it say? Jesus took bread. That's a good version. It doesn't matter if it's some or bread. Obviously, he took some. But what does that mean, that some? When you have a look at the bread, it's in the singular. So it's a single, he took bread, one chunk. He didn't get one crumb, or he could have gotten one crumb, but no, he didn't. It's a singular. But he got one piece. It wasn't multiple pieces. He hasn't grabbed a sliced loaf. If this is a piece. Which is very significant. Now, because when you think that some could be implied plural or multiple, bread is in the singular. And this is very important as to what it represents. Yes, there is one Christ, there is one Jesus who came and died for us. There is one body, one person who could provide himself as a sacrifice for us. And that was Jesus Christ. He was the only unblemished, perfect person who never sinned in his life. On this planet, who gave up his life for us, died, took the punishment that we deserve on himself, so that we can get the blessing and get what we don't deserve, which is life, what he deserved. So, Jesus gave himself up for us as a substitute for us, so we don't have to have the consequence of death. So by partaking in this body that we will, this bread that we will take, we are symbolically partaking in his body as a person, or who he was, what he did, in his life, in his gift of life. Follow me? If you don't, just hold on. We'll get there. So, again, while remembering what he has done for us, his great sacrifice, there's more to the symbolism that we have to remember and understand. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12:27, we can go to 1 Corinthians 12 because I'm going to go into a lot more there. The 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So how is it that Jesus has a body here on earth? How is it that Jesus, he died, he was only one person, he's gone to heaven. How are we part of his body? And that's the church, I heard there whispered. You speak boldly, don't worry. You can interact. Speak up if you want to. So by eating this bread and taking it into our body, the bread that represents Jesus, we are symbolically showing that we are also partaking in a spiritual reality that is greater than the physical that was just there. It's that Jesus is in us. And if each of us have Jesus in us, then we are all part of the same body of Christ. Follow? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 26. What version do most of you have? Can you call out what version you've got? New Living, what have you got? New King James? New Standard, King James? Good news. Okay, I'm gonna read from the, New American Standard and see if it's a bit more in between. Probably not. But anyway, let's follow along. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 26. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of the one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if an ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body was an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body was an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour, and our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. I repeat that, there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together." So, by eating the bread today, you are saying that you are a part of, not apart from, this local body of believers. Do you get that? You're saying that you're going to work with others in this body of believers. Is that correct? Now I ask you, if you're not necessarily part of this body, Do you want to become a part of this body of believers? Do you feel like maybe you're not a part of the body? Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 6. This is Paul speaking in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. He urges them. Let's read what he says. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So what's Paul saying there? Is he saying that we are divided? Is he saying that we can run along on our own little mission and do our own thing, or are we to work together? And I would say that Jesus has one purpose for his body, which isn't necessarily in here. We are to be united in spirit. Which spirit is that? Holy Spirit. He has one purpose for his body. When he was here, he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we're a part of his body, that is what we are to do too, as his body, to seek and to save those who are lost. Look for those who don't have a hope, who don't realize they have a future in Christ, who don't know that there is an eternity to be given. If we would just humble ourselves and submit to God and let him do his good pleasure through us, allow him to work his power in our lives. Now, if you feel you're not a part of the body, it may be that you haven't committed your life to Christ. It may be that you're harboring sin in your life. You may have been baptized, but I'll show you something about this bread. Coming up to the Passover, they've done a good job of that. They've copied what they do with the, forget what it's called. Do you remember what it's called, Carrie? The bread that we got? Matzah. But the Jews used on Passover. It's pierced. And it's got lines on it, stripes, just like the matzah. Good stuff. This stuff, just because Jesus was striped, pierced for us, and his stripes were to heal us. I'm trying to gather up that quote, but I can't pull it there, but anyway. It's gone. This is unleavened. It represents the fact that there was no leaven of sin in the people of God when it came up to the Passover, and no leaven in the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. So when we look at this, maybe there's sin in your life that is holding you back from entering into a good relationship with God. Entering in to a good relationship with the rest of the body of Christ. Is there tension? Is there division? I don't know this church very well, I've only been here a few weeks, but in your hearts, are you harboring resentment? And we're going to have a very good opportunity to think about that resentment and how we can ask for forgiveness for someone and wash one another's feet. To show our humility toward one another. And we'll do that in a minute. But Jesus wants us to be pure, as he is pure. He wants his body to be pure and holy. Jesus' body was, he himself was holy and pure, undefiled. He died the sinner's death as a holy, spotless Lamb of God. And he wants his body, his people, his believers, his servants, those who comprise his earthly body in this church, to be without sin. This is not for condemnation. This is for, there is hope. God is able. We just submit to Him. Galatians 3, verse 25 to 27. Turn with me, Galatians 3, verse 25 to 27. This is our second last text. Galatians, Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians. It was a very one-sided book, a message, because they had run off the rails on the opposite side of the road, on the wrong side of the road, and he's pushing them back onto the middle of the road. And when he states some really key information about how we are to become holy. Galatians 3, verse 25 to 27. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through, what? Faith. For as many as of you as were baptized into Christ have put on, what? For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So, in this body of believers, we need to put on Christ. Just through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, through faith, trusting in Him, that we become holy, and we become united. Because God is not divided, right? Now, if there's some hurt in your heart, and anything that you have against someone else in the church, someone who's been in the church, who's a bit outside of the church, now's a good time to think about that, to consider and ask for forgiveness for that division, and for that God will fill that other person to it and deliver. Bring him or her to Christ. Why don't you just give us a few seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, for a quick time of prayer. So, as we eat this bread today, can we consider how we are part of this body? How can we reach out to others in this body and unite with them to fulfill the gospel, fulfill the commission that God gave us to reach others, to work together, to become unified, to show love for everyone else? Paul didn't say, confess your faults to one another so we can be condemned. He didn't say, confess your sin. He said, confess your faults. Where are you lacking? Ask for others to pray for you, to lift you up, give you strength. Thank you for being straightforward with your needs as well this morning. We're in it together. We're not separate. So if you feel like you're going it alone, I want to ask you, appeal to you to consider, are there others in the church going alone? Can I unite with them? Can I talk to them? Can I help them? Can I assist them in their life, their daily life, and in fulfilling the commission that God has given us to do? John 17:11. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed for us, for you, each one of us, for us as the church. John 17, Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 11. And I am no longer in the world. This is Jesus praying. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's a pretty amazing unity, being one. So I appeal to you. Do you desire to unify in Christ, through Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit? If I do, I invite you to partake in this bread and this wine with joy, knowing that as we take this, that we are coming together and we are partaking in Christ and His love, His sacrifice, and His body. That we can do it through Him and His power in us. Amen. So, a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Lord, help us, dear God, to forgive. Not necessarily to forget, but to be wise and to work for the one purpose, and that is to seek and to save the lost. Help us, Lord, I pray, to work together in your body, we ask. We thank you for this opportunity to do this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.